congregation, what does it mean to you to serve God? What does it mean to you to serve God? How would you describe the nature of the relationship between you and God? Are you like a permanent employee? You have fixed work, fixed hours, you do your work and then you've got time for yourself? Or perhaps it feels a little bit more of a casual employment relationship. You work when it suits you, otherwise you do the things that you want to do. Or maybe you would never describe it this way to anybody else, you'd never actually say this, but perhaps it works the other way around for you. God, it seems, works for you. He's supposed to make life better, and when he does, you tip your hat in acknowledgement, thank you, Lord, but that's the way round it works. Well, here in this parable in Luke 17, Jesus describes the relationship we have with God our Father. And it's none of those possibilities I raised before. It's something quite different altogether. Perhaps to us a little surprising this morning. A life of faithful service. And the first thing we see this morning is that God calls us to serve. God calls us to serve. The picture Jesus gives us here in the story is of life on a small farm. And it's a small farm because there's only the one servant, it seems. The servant, he's been out in the field all day, he's been working hard and in the heat of the day, and now the sun is set and it's time to come inside. And then Jesus says to those who are listening to him, he says, if that was you, when your servant comes in from outside, would you say to him, lie down, lean back, enjoy a hearty supper? And we think, that sounds pretty reasonable, doesn't it? Because the servant's been out there in the middle of the day, he's been out there working hard in the heat of the day. Sure, yeah, that sounds reasonable. It's time for a meal break. But those listening to Jesus wouldn't have had that same reaction that you and I naturally have this morning. This isn't a modern employee-employer relationship that's being described. If you're a servant, you serve. You look to the needs of your master as your first priority. And so Jesus' listeners would have agreed with him. You're much more likely to say, as Jesus says here, get my dinner ready and wait on me and then go and take care of yourself. To serve is what a servant is called to do. And that's why Jesus followed up with this. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? And this isn't saying that the master wouldn't be polite and wouldn't offer a word of appreciation. But the word thank that Jesus uses here carries the sense of coming under some sort of obligation. Does the master have a special obligation to the servant just because the servant's done what he was supposed to do? I mean, obviously the master has responsibilities, the responsibility to feed and clothe and provide for the necessities of life for the servant. But nothing special beyond that. The servant was just doing his job. Doing what he was supposed to do. Perhaps you have a similar reaction when the honours lists are announced each year. Perhaps at Queen's birthday and the honours lists are announced and who gets a gong? It's an outgoing politician. And what do you hear on talkback radio? What do you hear? They just did their job. Probably half the population thought they did a terrible job anyway, but they just did their job. And even if they did okay in their job, people say, why should they be honoured? Why should they be honoured for doing something they were supposed to have done? It wasn't like we didn't pay them an arm and a leg for doing it. They weren't volunteers, were they? The same is true here. A servant's job was to serve his master. No special honour due when you're following your job description. A servant is called to serve. And Jesus gives us this story this morning as a picture of life in the kingdom of God, to illustrate one aspect of what it means to be one of his disciples. God calls us to serve. And there are at least two reasons why God has a claim on our service. God made us, first of all. God made us. He's our creator. He formed us in the very womb. He therefore, it's because of him that we have life. Everything we have comes from the hand of God. He made us. We are his. And then secondly, God not only made us, but God bought us. He bought us at great price. He sent his son, Jesus, into the world to die for us. He saved us. He redeemed us to be his very own. So he's our Lord, he's our master. He calls us to follow him and to love him and to serve him. And friends, when we stop to reflect on what God has done for us, don't our attitudes seem at times so very, very poor in comparison? We head off to work in the morning, and perhaps it's the case we go with the thought of how we might serve God in our work. Perhaps not, but we work hard and we get home, and then perhaps we don't really want to think about anything else. We don't want to think about God. We don't want to think about the needs of others and serving them. We just want to think about me. We want to put our feet up and relax my time. Or perhaps we see it at times in our reluctance to help. I've done my fair share of work in the church. We say it's time for somebody else to contribute. And it may very well be that you have worked hard. It may very well be that others should be working more and contributing more. The sort of thing the servant might have said when he came in from the fields. Look, I've done all that ploughing for you all day. Can't you find somebody else to make you supper? But a servant looks to the needs of their master as their first priority. Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said to us. And so I ask you this morning, is that how you live your life? Does that reflect the priorities that somebody looking in from the outside would observe in your life? Is that what you're seeking to do? To serve God? To seek first the kingdom? Let's think of it from another angle. Are you a fussy servant? When I was a child, I was an incredibly fussy eater. I don't quite know how my mum copes sometimes. Anyone else here this morning who's a fussy eater? Anyone else willing to admit that they're a fussy eater? I'm the only fussy eater here, apparently. I'm the only honest and brave fussy eater. As I was growing up, if I didn't like the look of something, then I certainly didn't want to have a taste of it. And as embarrassing as it seems to admit it now, for many years, through my own stupidity and stubbornness, I missed out on the joyous taste of watermelon. I didn't like the look of it. It had all those black seeds everywhere. And so I missed out. Can blame nobody else but myself. Anyway, I was a very fussy eater. I'd pick and choose what I liked and what I didn't like. And isn't it the case, friends, that in the same way that you can be fussy about food, you can be fussy about service as well? Because in principle, it's very possible to be happy to be a servant as long as you get to choose how you'll serve. Imagine how that would work out around the home. It sounds like most of you assign your children jobs, but you imagine you didn't do that, and you just let the children do the sorts of jobs they want to do. Well, you'd find that you'd have somebody quite willing to clear the table, but no one willing to clean the toilet. Or you'd have somebody willing to open the curtains in the morning, but not to weed the garden. I mean, life just wouldn't work. A household wouldn't work if we just got to pick and choose the things we wanted to do and left for somebody else the things that we... Home operating like that just doesn't work. And friends, in that way either. We can't sit ahead of us, ahead of time, about the sorts of things that will serve God. This isn't enterprise bargaining. To serve God means, like the servant here in the parable, being willing to do everything that we're told. From the immediate context, what does God tell his servants to do? And speaking of that, what a difficult thing for a servant to do. Well, verses 3 and 4, the difficult task of forgiving someone who has repented. Someone who's not just done it once, but has done it 7 times perhaps, and each time they keep coming back and they're saying, I'm sorry, I've sinned against you, will you forgive me? That's no easier. Rebuke and forgiveness is two of the difficult tasks that God calls His servants to do. But we can't pick and choose. We're either willing to follow God or we're not. Are you willing to serve God? Are you willing to go where God says to go? Are you willing to do what God says to do? Because you're a servant of God. God made us and God saved us. God calls us to serve Him faithfully, and to serve Him faithfully in all things. But not only does God call us to serve, the second thing we want to see this morning is that God rewards faithful service. It's not all one way. God calls us to serve, but God also rewards faithful service. And I say that this morning despite verse 10, which you might think at first says the opposite. Verse 10, so you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty. Brothers and sisters, our service of God doesn't put us in line for some special reward. Even if we were to do everything that God put before us, we don't have a claim on God. God doesn't owe us anything. And that's something that can be hard to accept at times for a number of people. Perhaps for you. Perhaps you have gone out of your way to serve God and you've tried ever so hard and you'd like to think to yourself, well, look, I've stored up some merit here. God has a little good book of things, the good things that I've done. And if we've done lots of good things, what will God do? God will bring lots of good things into my life. I do good for God. God does good for me. That's not how it works. Any good that we have is solely, only by grace. And for a start, we haven't even done our duty. All of us have fallen short. Perhaps we've been reluctant or half-hearted. Perhaps we've done a Jonah and swung a U-turn when God told us to go in a certain way and we didn't want to go there. We are unworthy servants. There's nothing in us that is worthy of praise. At best, we've only done our duty, and we haven't even done that. Our only hope is the grace of God. And God is gracious. God doesn't owe us anything, and yet He delights to reward faithful service. Isn't that amazing? Think of the parable of the talents. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. But brothers and sisters, it goes further than that this morning. For the last thing I want you to do is leave this morning with a picture of God as an ungrateful master who sits back, like the person in the story, who just sits back while we serve Him. No. Our God sent Jesus into the world not to be served, but to serve. And if anyone deserved to be served, surely it was Jesus, God Himself, come to earth. But Jesus had a different plan, a different way, a different example. The night in which He was betrayed, Jesus wrapped a towel around His waist. He poured water into a basin and washed and dried the feet of His disciples. Our Master set us an example of what it means to be a servant, an example of sacrificial service, of extreme humility. sacrifice and humility which are marks of greatness in servant ministry to others. And yes, Jesus didn't wash your feet. Jesus didn't wash my feet. We weren't there, obviously, some 2,000 years ago on that night in the upper room when Jesus did that. But let me tell you something this morning that may perhaps surprise you. One day Jesus will. For God rewards faithful service. One day Jesus will. We read it before in Luke chapter 12, and perhaps you read over it, but the servants were waiting there for their master to return from a wedding. They were serving him faithfully, staying up late to get everything ready, to open the door when he came home. And what did Jesus say? Listen carefully. Jesus said, it will be good for those servants who find them watching, whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he, that is the master, will dress himself to serve and will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. Jesus will wait on his faithful servants. Jesus is our master. We are faithfully serving him until he comes again. And if you are a faithful servant of Jesus, that means if you are someone who has put your trust in Jesus as your master and as your Lord, if you are trying to serve him faithfully, following his word, seeking to do what he's commanded, if you're a faithful servant of the Lord, then Jesus, believe it or not, will do for you what he did for his disciples on that night in the upper room. Jesus will dress himself to serve. He will come. He'll wait on you. Or you recline at table. Isn't it hard to believe that's true? How great is the Lord our God that he would wait on us? Yes, God rewards faithful service. God owes us nothing, but he delights to reward his servants all the same. And that should encourage us today. It should encourage us today because it's not always easy being a servant, is it? The work is hard, that's true. To forgive a brother or a sister who has wronged you is not easy. Or perhaps you get tired. We get tired as we serve the Lord because we have so many different callings as a husband and a wife, as an employee or an employer, as a student or a teacher, a parent or a child, a committed member of a church, a faithful friend. We have so many callings upon us. Friends, Jesus is coming again soon. And his reward is with him. God calls us to serve. So let us serve. Let us serve with encouragement. For God rewards faithful service. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, so often and so easily, we can have the wrong idea of how we relate to you. We can think too highly of ourselves, think too little of you. Father, we confess the times when we've been a little bit choosy in the things that we've wanted to follow you in. There have been some things, as we've read them in the Bible, that we've been quite happy to do, and perhaps that's because they've fitted in with our personality, or are things that we've found easy. And we've gone ahead and done those things, and we've thought well of ourselves because of that. Lord, you know there have been other things, and we've read them in the Bible, and they've been the things that we've wanted to make excuses about and leave for another day or another person, or decide that it just can't apply in our circumstance. Lord, forgive us for being selective in our service. Father, help us to serve you wholeheartedly in every area of our lives. Thank you, Father, that you set this life of service before us, not as one who commands solely from on high, but one who has given us the example of Jesus, who laid down his life for us, gave himself for us, his life for us, that he might serve us. Father, we pray that your encouragements to us would spur us on in areas in which we're lacking in zeal. You'd encourage us to get that second wind and continue on in the things that perhaps we were doing some time ago and yet we've let slip to one side. Father, may your promises, your gracious promises to us, fill us with new strength and zeal today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.